Please take your Bibles with me and turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, page 984 in the Read Bibles, 984. And Bruce is going to come up and read Colossians 3, 12 through to 17. Thanks.
Reading from Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So far our reading.
Especially here, the apostle is telling the church to do all these things, as it were, but in whatever you do, in verse 17, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father. So let's turn then to Revelation chapter 4. It's the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 4. This is a scene in heaven. I am just going to read verse 11, but this is a scene. The apostle John, he has, as it were, a vision into heaven, and as it were, the clouds are kind of rolled back, and he's able to see into the glory that is there, and he sees the glory of the throne and all that which is around the throne. We've read this, and I've preached on this before, but I want to be looking especially at verse 11 today. So let's read verse 11 together. Revelation 4 verse 11. The 24 elders, they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Let's come to God in prayer and seek his blessing on the preaching of the word. Almighty God, again, we come. We come as children, looking up to our Father in heaven. We come as needy beggars, needing bread, the bread of life. And so by your Holy Spirit, would you pour that out on us this morning? O Lord, work mightily for the good of your name, for your glory, by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning and this afternoon, at the beginning of the year, I kind of want to pick up the theme of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Some of you know the Westminster Shorter Catechism. It's not one of the confessions or catechisms that we hold to particularly, but the first question and answer of the Westminster Shorter Catechism is, you know, what is the chief end of man? And the answer being, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And so this morning we want to look at what does it mean to glorify God as we move into 2020, as we think about our life into this coming year. How are we going to, in all our different spheres of life, how are we going to glorify God, and then this afternoon to enjoy him in this year and forever? And there are many questions to the answer of what is the chief end of man, right? What is our purpose? What is our goal? What are we supposed to be doing in life? There are many answers to that question in Christendom as well as in the world. You know, we want to be happy. The chief end of man is to be happy, or to have a positive impact on the world, to have a great retirement. We live our lives for a great retirement. There are all kinds of answers to that question. What is the chief end? What is the great goal and purpose of life? Now, there's nothing wrong with goals, desires, and targets that we might aim for. You know, we might have made some New Year's resolutions. I mean, I don't know what they are for you. Maybe they are to pay off your mortgage or to spend some more time with your children. Maybe to have the neighbors over for dinner, a quieter pace of life, wonderful resolutions, wonderful desires to have, even individual spiritual lives. You know, I've got a stack of Bible reading plans out there in the fellowship hall there. And the point of those is to help you and to spur you on to maybe a good ordered system of Bible reading. So maybe your resolution in this year is to have a good system of reading your Bible. You want to get through your Bible maybe in a year or two or 3 years or something like that. It's a goal and something to work towards. Maybe you have some goals in your own prayer life or your devotional life, your family life, whatever it might be. These are good and these are helpful. But we're trying to look here at the overall goal, the broader purpose of life. What's the ultimate goal? What's the end goal that we are aiming for, that we are shooting for? And so the Westminster says the chief end of man is, that great goal is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So let's look at this whole area of glorifying God. What is it, firstly, what does it mean to glorify God? Actually, today we're looking at the what, the why, and the how. So what does it mean to glorify God? Why do we glorify God? And then finally, how do we do it? So we look at the practical implications. So the what, the why, and the how of glorifying God. Notice these 24 elders in Revelation chapter 4. These 24 elders are making God more glorious. They're casting down their crowns. They're bowing their, in verse 10, we read the 24 elders, they fall down before him who is seated on the throne. And the whole idea of bowing down, that idea is to make themselves small and God big. I am nothing. You are great. That's the whole purpose of bowing. Now, when they seek to glorify God in this way and to say these things, worthy are you, and so forth, they're not trying to add something to God. So glorifying God, when we glorify God, we're not trying to add something to God. God is already glorious. You cannot make God more glorious than he already is. If we were able as creatures to add something to God, add something to his glory, that would make God cease to be God. God is God. He is all glorious. We can't add anything to him at all. When we're glorifying God, we are, as it were, making God's glory known. Some would say we're lifting up his name in the world, or we're magnifying him in the sight or in the eyes of others. We have this in creation. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech." So the heavens, and the rest of the psalm, well, part of the rest of the psalm, I should say, goes on about the sun and the moon and the stars. You see, they're as it were, speaking and declaring and honoring God. They're telling others, they're telling this world who God is. And so they're bringing the glory to God. Some have said the world is like a mirror. You look into the world and you see God. You look into the world and you see God. You see the glory of God. And the chief end of the heavens, according to Psalm 19, is to bring glory to God. And you see that throughout creation. Creation does that naturally. Look, you look at the trees. They reflect God's glory in the way they grow. They show the handiwork of the Creator. The sun in its heat and brilliance. You see in the sun the hands of the Creator. You see it in the birds. Well, you hear it in the birds as they sing, as they fly. The flowers and their intricate beauty. They declare, this is God. This is the glory of God. You look at its intricacies. You look at all these things in creation. You see there must be a God. And human beings are to be the same. But we don't do it by just us looking at it. We don't do it by declaring it, in showing it. We do it in our speech, in our actions, in our lives, in our attitudes. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. So he's saying, the Apostle Peter is saying, when you speak, you speak of God. You speak through God and you bring glory to God. Sorry, you speak of God and you bring glory to God. And when you serve, you bring glory to God. 1 Corinthians 5:31, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Everything that we do can be done for and to the glory of God. So it's natural. It is to be natural for this creation to declare God's glory and for you and me to also speak of and act the glory of God. But what does it mean then for human beings to glorify God? Well, it means, it's just like these 24 elders. It means they appreciate God, right? They set him high in their thoughts. That's what they're doing when they're casting them down. They cast themselves down before the throne. They're thinking great thoughts of God. They adore him. They worship him. They show that he is worthy. They love him. They love him because of who he is. God is glorified when he is loved. Not loved in the sense that we love him so we can get something in return. No, we love him because of who he is. Merely for who he is as God. And we serve him. We dedicate our lives to him. So we appreciate, adore, love, and serve God. So then why? Why should we glorify God? And this really is the important part of this. We see that glorifying God is reflecting his glory. It is doing it in our speech and our actions and our thoughts. But why should we do it? Well, firstly, because he's made us. That's what Revelation 4:11 says. This is the elders, they're saying, worthy. Why are you worthy? For you've created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. We glorify God because he gives us our breath. Every breath we take, every beat of the heart is from God. And everything on top of that as well is from God. All the comforts of life, all the beautiful things that we get to see and hear and touch and taste and feel, it is all from him. He made all things. You created all things. By your will they existed and were created. He made all things, therefore he's the owner of all things. And he uses all things as he sees right and fit. That's why all creation belongs to him, and all creation is to bring back to him what he has first given to it. They are to glorify him. Now we've developed this idea, even in our Christian circles, we've developed this idea that God created us to make us happy. Now there's a sense where that's true. Well, at least there's a sense where God makes us happy. We'll look at that this afternoon, to enjoy God, right? And we'll look at this afternoon. But God didn't create us specifically to make you and me happy. You know, he's not some heavenly grandfather figure bending over backwards in every other which way so that his little children can have these smiles and delightful squeals on their faces. Now, we somehow or another, we've picked this up from our society, well, probably from our own hearts, really. You know, sometimes we do it as parents. You know, we're just trying to make our children happy. or in worship, we're just trying to make people feel happy and make people feel valued and make people feel loved. Now, in itself, that's not wrong. So please don't mistake what I'm trying to say here. But the ultimate purpose that God created us was not just so that we can be happy. The ultimate purpose and goal of God in creation is to bring glory to himself. You see, we've twisted it. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden, and that's what we've taken on in our lives. We've twisted God's purpose in creation. So rather than honor God and be under God, we want to honor ourselves. We want to be the ones that feel happy. We want to be the ones that feel like we are worthwhile and worth it. But God says, no, it's me. It's my glory. And this, you see, is where you and I, we see our need. Because we are always full of self-worship rather than God worship. We looked at that right at the beginning. Now, we want to serve God and we want to serve mammon. We want to serve ourselves and God. We kind of want to have a bit of both because we know we're supposed to serve God, but we really want to serve ourselves. And this is the beauty of why Jesus came to earth. Jesus tells us his task in John chapter 17 when he's praying to the Father. He said, I have glorified you, as he speaks to his Father. I've glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work you gave me to do. He did what his Father wanted him to do. He, in that sense, glorified God. And when we believe in Jesus Christ, two great things happen. The first is, all the sin of self-glory, all the sin that we've accumulated as we try and look after ourselves and look for ourselves, all of that was taken off us and placed on Jesus himself, and he took it to the cross and he dealt with it there so that we are, in that sense, completely free from the sin of self-glory and self-worth. He bore the punishment and the shame and the curse for all of that as if he had done it himself. But then secondly, what Jesus does, all his glorifying of God, all of his focusing on God's glory, all of that righteousness he takes off himself and places on us. It's called the Great Exchange. All our sin is placed on him, and all his righteousness is placed on us. So that God looks at us just as if we had never sinned. In fact, not only just as if we'd never sinned, but just as if we had lived a perfect life of obedience, of glorifying him at all times. That's why, in many ways, as these elders are casting down their crowns and as they're bowing to God and as they're saying, you've created all things, we can say, yes, you've created all things and you've recreated us. You've recreated us because we are now made new. We are not the old self-glorifying people we used to be. We are a new people because we have Christ's righteousness in us. And as we go into this year, if there's nothing else that we focus on this year, as we seek to live for God's glory, if there's nothing else we focus on but this thing, that Jesus came and gave himself and took our sin and gave us his righteousness, if we would but reflect and think on that throughout the year, everything else would fall into place. If we would but go deeper and deeper into understanding what Christ has done for us, our lives would dramatically change. if I could illustrate this maybe a little bit, not trying to be trivial about it, but you know, if you would go window shopping, you know, sometimes you do that, you go window shopping, you're walking down the main street and you promise yourself you're not going to buy anything. You just want to kind of walk through town and have a look at the shops and see what they have to offer. And as much as you promise yourself you're not going to buy anything, as you look, advertisers and people that work in these shops, they know how to attract customers, right? Because they put up things in their windows and so forth that'll as it were, draw the customer in. And so you kind of go into the shop and you say, well, I'm just going to have an extra look. I'm not going to buy anything. I'll just have an extra look. And then eventually, you know, you look more and you look more and eventually you buy. Well, that is so much more in the Christian life, not that we're buying anything. But the more we look at Christ and the more we see what he's done and the more we gaze on that, we cannot help but live for him and honor him and bring glory to him. And this is important because as we go into the year, I don't want us to go into the year with another list of things that we have to do. Another list of things that we have to do, another burden on our shoulders. We just need to glorify God more. I just need to give God more glory, give God more glory. That's not what it's about. It's about seeing what Christ has done. And as we see what he has done, it cannot but change our lives. Because we do it out of joy and delight and thankfulness. It's an expression of who we are. So that thirdly then is the how. How do we glorify God? We're not in heaven like these elders in this vision. We're not casting down our crowns. We're not bowing down before the throne. So how do we do that? How do we, in our daily lives, live for the glory of God? Well, I've got a number of things here that I think would be helpful as we think about what Christ has done, as we think about how we can bring glory to God. And the list could be as long as your arm. And the scripture is full of how we live for the glory of God. Firstly, what I have here is when we do things, we do them purely for God's sake. We do them purely for his sake. Jesus said, I seek not my own glory. John chapter 8, verse 50. So that we do things not so that others will see me, so that others will look kindly and highly at me, but we do things purely because we know it honors God. You know, it's very hard to let other people shine and you stand in the background, isn't it? Because we all like to be like the people that shine. We all like to be looked up with favor. But bringing glory to God and honor to God is doing things purely not for our own sake and for our own, so that people look up to us, but for God and his glory, purely for God's sake. So that firstly, how we can glorify God. We do things purely for Christ's sake, or for his sake. Glorifying God, we glorify God by bearing fruit. John chapter 15, verse 8. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Or Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You've seen this in others. You look around and you see those who let their light shine. You see those who bear fruit and you realize this is the work of God in this person. It brings glory to God, bearing fruit. We glorify God by bearing fruit. Well, thirdly, we glorify God by working out our own salvation. It's interesting how God has so twisted our lives, wound our lives together so that when we seek his glory, we find our good. When we seek God's glory, we end up finding our own good. Think, for example, when we're singing here, as we sing a song, we're singing praise to God. But as we sing this praise to God, our own hearts are warmed, aren't they? And encouraged about what God has done, as we sing about what God has done. Our hearts are warmed and encouraged as we see what God is doing for his children and where we were and where he has placed us now. As we seek his glory, in that example, we're singing, but also we find it our own good. We work out our own salvation. We seek to live more and more for the Lord. And as we do that, we find it our own good. We also glorify God when we live for Him. 2 Corinthians 5:15, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sakes died and was raised. In other words, we give our energies, our time, our talents, our lives for the Lord. We do that, mothers, as they raise their children. We raise them for the Lord. Businessmen that seek to live for the Lord do so as they care for their staff, as they use their money wisely in the right kind of way, as they do it in a godly and an upright and a good way, not evading taxes and not cutting people short. We do it as builders, when we build our houses well, because we know this glorifies and honors God. You see, as we start to live more and more, we'll look at that this afternoon, in the presence of God. We do it for God. And so we glorify Him. We glorify God by walking cheerfully in life. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4, God comforts us in our affliction. It brings glory to God when the world sees Christians that are cheerful even in the worst of circumstances. You know, if you just take an earthly example, children that are always grumpy and sad and morbid are a reflection of their parents. We try not to say that out in public, but often we tend to think that, don't we? Well, Christians who are morbid and sad and grumpy and complaining reflect their God, and it does not bring honor to God. But when we're cheerful and happy, not kind of giddy type happy, but truly happy, deep down happy, that doesn't mean we're always smiling and laughing. It means we have a peace and a happiness in God. We're cheerful even when life is not going well, and that brings glory to God. And Christians, we could go on. Glorifying God, we glorify God in our evangelism, in our worship, in our contentment, in our believing. We glorify God even in our confession of sin. You know, when one sinner repents, there is rejoicing in heaven. But maybe I'll mention one more. We glorify God by living a holy life. 2 Peter 2 verse 9 reminds us that we're a holy nation that shows forth the praise of Him that has called you. Loose living Christians dishonor God. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to conceive. We know that. Those who live wrongly and against God's word do not bring glory to God. The world will see what we're like, and they'll say things like, well, if that's what it is, forget it. But if they see us, they might denounce us, they might tell us we're mad, they might even call us bigots or whatever they might call us, but they know we live a holy life, and a holy life will bring honor to God. And as we do these things, all of these things, we bring honor to God, and we do them, again, we do them, not because they are the end in themselves. You know, the end of our lives is not to live a holy life. The end of our lives, or the goal in our life, is not just to be a cheerful person. The goal of our lives is to glorify God. These things lead to the glory of God. So they're not the end themselves. It is the glory of God that we live for. So what is the chief end of man? It's the glory of God. We display His glory as we live our lives, in our speech, in our actions, in our thoughts. But remembering always, why? Because we've been recreated. Firstly, God created us, and then He recreated us in Christ. So we live this life not as a burden, but we live this life because of what He's done for us in thanksgiving and praise to Him. So then, as we go into 2020, let us live like this. Let us live with Christ at the center of our lives, focused on Him. This brings honor and praise and glory to God. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we praise you and thank you that you have made all things, that by your will they were created and have their beings. We praise you that you've recreated us. O Lord, we pray that as we go into this year, the Lord Jesus would indeed be the great attraction, that he would indeed be the one that we live for and out of because of what he has first done for us. We struggle in this so often. We end up burdening ourselves with trying to do better. Oh, gracious God, help us to look at this wonderful Savior and so help us to live for your glory. May we find great joy in living according to your word and your commandments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.